VSiN by the books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
A lot of fun having Thomas Gable on the last segment from behind the book there at the Borgata in Atlantic City. Great lineup coming up here. Hour number three, Lou Finocchiaro is going to join us. Break down UFC Fight Night. Got to get up early now. It's going to be overseas here tomorrow morning. Colin Wilson is going to join us to help break down what we might see in the College World Series. And Kelly Bidwin is going to be on here before a numbers game, before he and Gil take over for us. Like, how do you bet Scottie Scheffler live? These are question marks in golf that hopefully Kelly's going to help answer. And I had mentioned earlier about Wyndham Clark, and I'd said he's mercurial. He's an interesting guy. And we got a nice tweet from DMoney2171. He said, "Mercurial Dave, it's not even 8 a.m. Eastern. Please dumb it down for those of us who haven't had enough coffee yet." And I'm with you, DMoney. I've had my coffee already, so that's why I got that on the brain. But there are certain cats that I can't quite figure out. And I'd certainly put Wyndham Clark in that category. Cannot figure out where his head's at. I know where Sharp plays and where they are coming at us from because they have unmatched transparency, records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting information, alerts directly from the pros. So that's why they've been around since 2011 with receipts, public logs, and results right there on the site. SharpPlays.com, trusted by the pros, watched by the books. Check them out now at SharpPlays.com. And as now we begin hour number two, we have to get back to our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Not a big surprise that the highlight, and certainly the headline, the highlight would have been, did you see the steal from Halliburton and then the little 360 spin and then the look-away pass to Siakam for the jam? And you kind of went, oh, this game's over. We're going back to Oklahoma City for a game seven. 108-91 is the final here. Yet Indiana on the money line. You never sweated it after that 10-2 start by Oklahoma City. And again, the under, which is a bit of a surprise to me, that Oklahoma City, their lowest offensive output of the season, 91 points in defeat here.
Yeah.
And Jensen, I guess my question would be, I don't think you and I are shocked that this has gone seven. I think we were in the minority that we felt this was going to be a long series. I think the only shocking thing for me is that this happened in a game six. And sometimes you see these earlier in a series where you kind of haven't felt each other out. I mean, you've played, you know, five games going into this thing already, and I'm surprised that OKC looked inept in that second half against Indiana. That might be the bigger surprise. Now, can they flip the switch, you know, wash it away, you know, clear the memory bank and be ready to go Sunday night? Yeah. But Jensen, I think my concern is that they looked really ill-equipped in a game six last night.
Not only that, but as I said to you and the crew, most embarrassing first half in an NBA Finals, maybe in quite some time for a team of that talent, with an opportunity to close it out and win a championship, almost a no-show in many respects. So, you know, I know people are like, oh, well, they know that they've got a game left. I don't think you just try and roll it out there and say, oh, don't worry, if we don't win today, we'll be fine in a game seven. That to me would not be the way I would want to go about it. So take it from someone who has been in a position up 3-1 with a chance to go to the World Series. And we did not get it through to the finish line. So you cannot take these opportunities for granted, Dave. And not to say that Oklahoma City did, but boy, the sloppiness, the lack of execution, they got out physical in a lot of different ways. So they better bring it, man, and get a couple of days to marinate on it. But I would say the Pacers not only feel like they've been on house money for a while here, but almost with a head of steam, okay, headed in. And ironic, we have a game seven now. We go back to 2016. It was the Cavaliers who were down 3-1. They come all the way back and they win, you know, in enemy territory in Golden State. I'm not putting it past the Pacers whatsoever to have one of those efforts and be able to make history.
You know, I would, if you're looking at game seven and you just want to try to get some better ways to make the same bet, if you want to bet, see, by the way, it's 8-215.5 is where it's sitting right now. You want to bet Siakam to win the MOP, the most outstanding player award here in the finals. Remember, this is not like the Conn Smythe in the Stanley Cup. It's not the whole duration of the postseason. It's just this series. Siakam's plus 370 to win that award. And you can look down the board here. 390 you can still get right now at DraftKings. Halliburton's 12-1. I don't know that I would play that. I know you might say, well, I'll take the extra dollar here with Siakam. I think there's still a pathway potentially for Halliburton to win that award. But conversely, I would play Shea. If you want to back OKC, lay the 220 with SGA to win the MVP for the most outstanding award. Because to me, that's a much better price. I don't know the Jalen Williams. Maybe if he drops another 40 bomb, he could get home at 10-1 potentially. But to me, I look at SGA at minus 220 as a much better price point than laying it with the OKC and the money line. Do you see that way, that similar?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that angle up, Dave, because I was looking at the hedge calculators here in one of our FOMOs for the series was that we both believed it would be a lengthy one. And if you played the exacta here on the Pacers, what did we say? It was upwards of 15-1, maybe 17-1 in certain spots. So right now, if you just take, you know, if let's say you have one of those tickets in pocket right now to lay the 330 and to hedge to gain a profit, you're only making on a $100 wager there in the futures market, you're only making around $300. So yeah, you're trying to maximize profit. Jalen Williams, and similar to the conversation we just had with TG, right? If Tyrese Halliburton were to leapfrog Pascal Siakam to win MVP, then he'd have to have some otherworldly performance, right? And Siakam would have to have like 10 points, right?
Right.
In what world? I mean, Jalen Williams, does he have to have a 40 burger? And Shea is in like that 15-20?
Yep.
Okay, so with your idea then, it makes way more sense to play Shea to win the MVP at 220 than have to lay, you know, the extra dollar on OKC to just win the game.
And I do wonder, because it's just for this 7-game series now, right, for this award. So you throw everything else out that's happened. And a lot of that would be Halliburton's heroics. I know game one, he knocked down the game winner in that great 15-point comeback. But if I'm looking at this thing objectively, let's say Halliburton does have that monster game, and it's to win the NBA title. Do you think, because the nuance of the voters, this is the hard part, right, of getting in the heads of the voters. If Halliburton, with the bad calf, comes out there and Willis reads this thing, but actually puts up the 30 and, you know, hits a big game winner again on the road, are they going to go, well, value, they don't win the series if that doesn't happen, and then they just go to the microcosm of a one game evaluation? That's where the 12-1 gets home, right?
Absolutely. What is the stat line? Like, I just said, thinking out, because now I'm thinking from a player prop standpoint. Okay, so you went right where I was going. And I think that has to be, does it have to be a significant triple-double? Like, are we talking 30, you know, 15 assists? Okay. So that would be, that'd be a great way to look at it.
I think that's the way a Halliburton 12-1 at this point, because of the narrative of you did this on the road in a game seven as a big underdog. All those things could eclipse Pascal Siakam. I think Siakam should win the award if he has a typical Pascal Siakam game and they win. But I could see where the voters could figure out a way for Halliburton if he goes full Superman in this one. We also saw Scottie Scheffler do what the world number one does yesterday. And again, if you had Austin Ekroad at 8-under, you go, well, nobody's going to catch him. By the way, Scottie went out in the afternoon, and I know you watched the coverage too, Jensen. That was the tougher of the two waves. Like, no disrespect to Ekroad and his 62, but all 62s are not created equally. And Scheffler went out there in the tougher conditions with a wind up, and he shot a 62. So now Scottie's gone to odds on. You got a great ticket. And we were kidding with Thomas Gable during the break here. That year of our Lord 2025, getting a boost on Scottie Scheffler at plus 330 now constitutes a great ticket on Scottie Scheffler. That's how dominant he is, Jensen. But you're sitting in the catbird seat with Scheffler at a great value.
Buddy, I was just telling you yesterday, you see some of the videos, and boy, in our day and age of social media, where you can get some real-time feedback on how guys look in their practice rounds and just kind of the form that you're in, and saw multiple people just saying, like, okay, Scotty in his round looks like this is a video game. It looks like he's playing Tiger Woods golf for EA Sports. And I said, okay, you're going to give me at least over 3-1 for a guy that, you know, is a birdie machine, and I mean, and it was also the narrative of like, does Rory really care?
Right.
You know, is he really that locked in here? So I took your advice. I jumped in the winner without market for people just joining us. If you are on DraftKings, we are getting those daily boosts. You get to use it on any of the markets available. So I went to that winner without market. I got Tommy Fleetwood now plus 1888 16-1. So a little elevated there. Four shots back starting today. But hey, he has only got to finish second. That's all we need.
Which is what Tommy
Scotty wins.
And Fleetwood's very good at finishing second. There's no problem with finishing second for Fleets in the United States. That's for sure. So here we go again with British Jesus. We'll see if he can get in the fight here for Jensen. Edge Boost, by the way, they're the first ever bank account that's built solely for bettors. It ensures all of your gambling transactions are always approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Earn cashback rewards, 100% approval for all your betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet. Use the promo code BOOK, title of this show. You're going to deposit $25. Edge Boost is going to match that deposit. That's edgeboost.bet, and do so today. Okay, when we come back, we're going to get into news or noise. And it's rather significant news in this instance that we heard from Connor McDavid after the cleaning out of the lockers. Season's over for Edmonton, and a conversation that we had with Paul Bruno, who was on the program the other day. So that we call that a tease in the business. You're going to hear from Connor, and did it make for actionable plays for you and I? We're going to get to all of that and then some. And again, hour number three, great lineup here. Lou Finocchiaro, Colin Wilson talking college baseball, and Kelly Bidlin talking some golf. That's all coming ahead right here on VSiN by the Books.
Tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are going to continue our last of first teams in the NFL in the very next segment. And we had a great conversation with Thomas Gable about the AFC South earlier in the program. If you missed that, again, VSiN on demand, you can always go back and watch all of our programs, not just ours here by the Books, any show that you might miss. So you can always go back when you're a VSiN Pro subscriber and catch up on any part of the show that you might miss. Now, don't miss this, because it's time for a critical question. Is this news or noise?
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise?
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
Okay, Jensen, you know one of my favorite quotes in Usual Suspects is, a rumor isn't a rumor if it doesn't die. And now all of a sudden, we had Paul Bruno on the other day after Edmonton lost, and he said, he's got it on good authority, that where 97 wants to skate is in Canada, but might not be in Edmonton any longer, and it might be Toronto. He's got 1 year left in his contract, everybody. Don't freak out. But we want you to hear from Connor himself about his future in Edmonton and its decipher. Is this news or noise?
As you said, it's only been a couple of days since the season ended. Take some time to regroup, talk to my agent a little bit and family and all that and make some decisions whenever that time comes. But there's no rush on anything like that.
Jensen Lewis, read between the lines, news or noise?
I mean, anytime you bring up publicly that you've got to talk with your family, you've got to talk with your agent.
Oh yeah.
All the key phrase, all that being said, I mean, there was never a time in that press conference, Dave, where we heard the words, I really like it here. We know that, and I know he brought up the old unfinished business thing, but man, this is pretty significant. I know that Canada is going nuts right now, and our great friends north of the border, there has been plenty of social media outrage already. What a defining offseason this will be for Edmonton moving forward, regardless if he stays or not. A lot of other things that they've got to kind of tighten up here a little bit, but we know that there are certain players that can kind of dictate the course of an organization. And in the NHL, there may not be a bigger one than this man right here.
Okay, this is why I love the show. So when we have the conversation with Paul, and then you hear from Connor himself, I said, all right, I'm not waiting any longer. And I shopped around. I found a 30-1 on Toronto to hoist the Stanley Cup next year. And look, by the way, you and I now both have tickets on Toronto north of, what, 24, now 30-1 here.
Yep.
And by the way, I like the tickets whether this happens or not, whether
Agreed.
McDavid
yes. gets.
I think we're going to have nice tickets to have anyway if this happens. And by the way, and I wanted to ask you about this because you can go back to the Shohei Ohtani situation, and I would equate it to that. We're talking about the greatest hockey player in his prime on the planet, and I don't know that you're going to get much pushback from anybody in the hockey circles on that. If you've only got 1 year left in the deal, and we saw what happened with Anaheim, isn't it incumbent upon Edmonton to trade him if they cannot re-sign him? If he talks to the agent, he talks to the family, says, look, I've enjoyed my time here, I'm honoring my contract, but if you guys don't move me, when this thing's done next year, I'm gone. Jensen, don't you have to do your due diligence and figure out what to do if you're Edmonton? Yeah, of course you don't want to trade him. Anaheim didn't want to trade Shohei. But at some point, what do you do?
Yeah, and also just from, you know, the competitive nature of it, right? I mean, you look at just the Western Conference into next year, and we asked Paul, and he was very high on Dallas as well.
Yep.
Jake Ottinger, perhaps the best goaltender on that side of the bracket moving forward into next season. You know, you think about what Winnipeg did, kind of laid the egg there, you know, in the second round. Colorado probably should have won the series against Dallas. They didn't get it across the line. VGK had their moments. LA, you know, we talked with Jonathan Davis. He thought the Kings were going to be one of those sleeper teams. But again, you just look at the overall makeup of the conference. You know, they have goaltending questions to answer with Skinner and Pickard. I think that there is a lot to be said there on top of, hey, you're the best player in the league right now wants out. And he didn't say it publicly, but there was, to go the other way, there was no like, I'm very happy here. I can't wait to come back. We've got unfinished business. We're going to get it across the line this time. There was none of that. Nowhere near it.
No.
So get ready, Canada. You guys got yourself an offseason to remember.
If you're Anaheim and you had it to do over again, would you have traded Shohei instead of letting him walk and getting nothing
yes.
back? Right?
That's yes.
That's what we're talking about here.
Organizational malpractice.
Yes.
Okay, because you have to get something for him as a transformational player, as two players in one. And if you're Edmonton, it's going to hurt. You've had your run, man. I mean, you're going to run it back again and you still have payroll issues you got to deal with? No, I think you have, and again, you take as many phone calls as you can, Dave. You're not incumbent to move him.
Right.
You're not. But you better take every phone call on what can I get for this player? And what does it mean for us in the short term and as a foundational building blocks moving forward that you have to do that?
And some people on X yesterday were saying to me that they thought maybe they trade him during the season. I'm like, does that make sense? Like, why start
good,
the year? Yeah.
It,
like, to me,
Agreed.
Do this in the offseason. If you're going to do it,
yeah.
Like, first, make the push to keep him. Or that's what you should first do, Edmonton. Figure out, is there any way that I can ensure that you're going to stay with us long term? Or do we have to do the Wayne Gretzky thing and figure out how do we make this thing work for us because you're not staying in Edmonton? That's
sure.
Certainly the vibe that we're getting after hearing that. Trade him to Toronto. Do the right thing for our tickets. Jordan Spieth. we know that Jordy has got one last chance here to win a major this year. Everybody does at Port Rush next month. Now, he withdrew from the Travelers with an injury. It was a neck, back situation here. And that's not really a Jordan Spieth thing to do, right? His first WD after 297 starts in the PGA Tour, he said it was his first time withdrawing anywhere at any level. He said the neck began to lock up on him while he warmed up on the range Thursday, tried to gut through the situation, given that, of course, this is a no-cut event in a $20 million signature event. But he couldn't go. News or noise that we really, for a guy that's a gamer, couldn't game it out.
Certainly noise from the respect that, you know, if you doubt this guy, you're just crazy. I mean, he's played through, you would have to imagine, in those 296, 297 starts, he's been banged up, you know, from a physical standpoint. He's probably played through some other things and maybe to the detriment of his overall scores. As far as where we handicap him moving forward, Dave, is there enough time, you know, and again, anyone who's played golf, I mean, I remember this from the simulator just a day ago. Like, I woke up, I'm like, oh, okay. You know, and he does it every day. He swings every day. So for a guy that's had that much use and that amount of miles on the odometer with the injury, you know that he's probably been lingering. It's probably behooves him a couple of weeks, get that thing knocked out. I just don't know from a form standpoint. Then again, is there enough time for him to jump back in a tournament or two to be able to be ready for Portrush and actively put, you know, some hard-earned dollars on him? He's probably a stay away from me until he kind of admits, like, yeah, I think I'm back to 100%.
You know, it is kind of a shame because I kid a lot about Jordan Spieth. He's been in my no-fly zone for quite some time now, but this is a guy I root for. I think this is a guy the tour roots for. This is, you know, three major championships to his ledger, just one short of winning the career Grand Slam. And I think the game is better when he's at the top of his game. He's not old by any stretch of the imagination. He's been around forever. But when I see this, you know, coming off the wrist issue, and now we're going to add a back and a neck to the list of ailments for Jordan Spieth, that's not good for Jordy. I hope he's okay and can get back out there, not only for the FedEx Cup and Portrush, but the Ryder Cup. I think we're all looking at him on Team USA. And by the way, USA is $1.45 betting favorite here to beat Europe. That's one of the guys, Jensen, that we go, we count on Jordan Spieth. This is one of our guys that I don't care what the form is. He shows up at a Ryder Cup, he becomes pseudo Captain America, right? Like, that's a guy that we all agree with. I don't know that we can get behind him now at the Ryder Cup, can we?
I
know it's September, tough, right? But
yeah, I think we need to get to the, let's get to the British.
See how he looks.
Let's kind of see where things are at. Yeah.
Can't believe Captain America might not be on the team. That would not be good. You want to check out Betting Splits each and every day as we do. You have access to what we have access to for as little as $9.99 when you become a VSiN Pro subscriber by going to VSiN.com/subscribe. You get those betting splits on every single game sport that's out there. See where the money is moving. See where the sharps are playing versus what the Joes, if you will, are playing versus the pros. So not only do you get those from Circa, you get them from DraftKings as well. So a very good breakdown from two trusted resources in the industry. When we come back, who's going last to first? That's next year. NFL Talk, VSiN by the books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the books right here on VSiN.
We are back. VSiN by the books. We did this yesterday in the AFC, Jensen Lewis. That is worst to first in the NFL. So we're going to do the NFC today. Now, traditionally, this happens once a year. Didn't happen last year, right? So again, if you want to go recency bias, say nothing, it's not going to happen, y'all. You're really looking for something that's not going to be there. I get it. But in the NFC, I think you have some more contenders, and I know where you're going to go. I have a sneaking suspicion out of the four last place teams, the Giants, the Saints, the Bears, and the Niners. Did I hear a Niner in there? Yeah, they actually finished dead last in the NFC West. Jensen, is that where we have to start the conversation for an injury-riddled team a year ago that went 6-11? And now, obviously, they're one of the favorites there with the Rams to win this division this year.
Certainly. A small sneak peek into the NFL betting guide. Mm-hmm. I will have a pretty lengthy write-up on the Niners overall this year. So let's start there. Again, you get the contract extension, which remains to be seen here. Is our boy Brock Purdy worth as much as he is on an average annual value status? If that is the case, we know how important the trigger man is. We know how important Christian McCaffrey was as far as not only the overall run game, but the overall offensive efficiency. Once Brandon Ayuk comes back from the ACL injury, Trent Williams back from injury. Again, you know, this is more a play on you don't believe the significant injuries have lightning strike twice. All that being said, you and I both agree that this could be a contender for the most competitive division in football with what we saw from the Rams. And we know the uptick in what the Cardinals have done. What will the Seahawks now look like with Sam Darnold as a quarterback in a revamped wide receiver room? But it just feels like this is the most likely spot to be a last team or last place team to go to first place. They just don't have as much improvement, if you will, as comparatively to a New York Giants, as we know in the East. Even the Bears, right, in the NFC North, and certainly what the Saints are up against. Even a lower echelon or lower threshold to overcome in the South. But I think the Niners are the easy answer.
You know, I'm a little bit surprised as we kind of look at these last place teams from a year ago that the Saints are only 10-1 to win the South. I get it. It's
true.
Maybe it's because they're saying the division is not as good as, say, the NFC East or the NFC West. But I think that number should be longer for the Saints. 5-1 team a year ago. Kellen Moore, whatever you think of him as a first-year head coach, we'll find out what he looks like there. We know what type of play caller he is. But that number should be much longer. For the Niners to win the West, they are the favorites at plus $1.50. I mentioned the Rams are nipping at their heels at plus $1.95. And it does feel like a more balanced division there. The Giants at 25-1. Now, the only thing I'll say there is we know that anomaly of it's been since 2004 that we've had a repeat champion in the NFC East. I still cannot. To me, it's one of the more bizarre stats in all of sports that hasn't happened in over two decades. If Brian Daboll, Joe Shane, these guys trying to keep their jobs, you bring in Russell Wilson. It did look good for a while at 10-3 for Pittsburgh last year with Russ at the helm. Could you make a case for the Giants? Pretty good defense. I'm really stretching it here. I know it's 25-1. Any chance for the G-men?
I mean, you selling sand in the desert here? What are we doing?
The schedule is brutal.
I think the Giants become one of the most intriguing survivor options, or at least teams to try and go against. All right, so for people listening, SiriusXM Channel 158, here are your potentials early on. Because, again, if you're going with the Russell Wilson narrative here, or if you're going with, all right, their best chance to strike. And I've told you, I've been on record saying, I think it is a scary matchup if you want to back the Commanders in week one. Division game, I mean, you get two out of the chute here for the Giants, so the Commanders and the Cowboys on the road, then home against the Chiefs Sunday Night Football. Home against the Chargers now. That could be a sleepy spot for LA coming over. Could be a scheduling spot. And then really your first realistic chance is if you want to take a road team and going into New Orleans and what it looks like down there. So to me, they end up becoming, you know, one of those teams where you watch what Brian Daboll's been able to do. Dave, do you make the coaching change if you're the Mara family, you know, after week? If you can't beat the Saints, is that it? Like, is it a 5-week runway here for Daboll? And then we got to figure it out because, you know, we got a guy, Jackson Dart, who we kind of like.
Oh, boy.
We kind of see what he wants to do here. So it's a bottom line business here. So that's what my focus would be for the Giants.
I mean, because you're right. Let's say they're going to be dogs. Obviously, they're already big dogs week one against the boys in D.C. Dogs down there in Dallas in week two. Going to be home dogs Sunday Night Football against the Chiefs. Probably going to be home dogs again week four against the Chargers. If they start off 0-4, is that it for Brian Daboll? Like, I wonder if you get to that Saints game and all of a sudden we've got our first coaching change in the NFL. It wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility. They've done it in the past. I remember McAdoo had to come in there from the offense coordinator. Then he got the gig. I kind of look at it and I go, I think you and I have talked about them a little bit. I think they're going to be very improved. And I don't know how many wins that manifests itself in from a 3-win team a year ago. Even though they're going to show improvement, I don't know that I can play an over plus an R10 at 5.5 either. So 25-1 to win the division. A lot of things would have to go wrong in Dallas, which they could. Philadelphia and the Commanders would have to take a big step back in year two of Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels. So it's a long shot play. And again, in a Lewis Ross administration, transparency is what we're all about. Jensen, you and I weren't doing the show yet. One of the worst bets I've made, I made on the Giants last year at 30-1 to win the division. After about week four, I hopped in, and I was like, the defense is pretty good. Thibodeau plays really well. And they just, I don't know if they won again for like 6 weeks. I was like, that is up for worst bet of the year. I had a really good NFL season. That was not a shining moment for me. We mentioned the Bears. Could they go worst to first in arguably the best division in football? I think top to bottom, 1 through 4. I think he could certainly make that case in the North. It would take Ben Johnson in year one getting the most out of Caleb Williams in year two. Is the schedule manageable enough for the Bears to possibly be a play here at over 4-1 to win the division?
No, because, okay, if I give you, if we do a little NFL, would you rather have the Vikings or the Bears to win the division?
Oh boy.
You would say you'd want the Vikings. Would you rather have the Packers or the Bears? You'd want the Packers. Would you rather have the Lions than the Bears? I'd rather have the Lions. And I don't think this, to me, feels like what we do from an alternate win total standpoint is, if you think the Bears are going to be good, I don't think they're going to be good early. I don't know if they've, you better win week one on Monday Night Football, because going to Detroit, good luck winning there. And then, you're home against the Cowboys. But, if that's a 425 game, those are the only games that Dak Prescott wins. So, I think you've got a really,
cheap shot.
I think you've got quite the exercise here, right? Because of the early bye week. Do you wait to week five to kind of look and see, all right, are we convinced that the hype around Ben Johnson is he's a Sean McVay kind of guy? He's a Kyle Shanahan kind of guy. Like, I think we wait. They're a wait and see for me, for sure.
I'm just glad that Brandon Valesky, our producer, is not on this week with us, because he would not like this. I'd rather have the Bears in pocket than the Vikings this year to win the division.
Wow.
Okay. And you know me, I was like Mr. Minnesota last year. I was all over the Purple People Eaters last year and had a great year back in the Vikings. My only concern is that is a true rookie quarterback in J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota this year. And coming off, I think we all forget that it was a bad knee injury. It wasn't, clean it out and everything should be fine. I think it's one of those, now you're coming off, normally it's the year after type injury. So he's playing the year of with the injury, and he's never played before. That concerns me. And I like KOC. I love what they've done in the front office. I really do. But to me, if you made me, Jensen, pick who I'd rather have out of the longer shots in this division, I'd rather have the Bears than Minnesota. Is that fair?
Hey, buddy. It's each their own, man. Good luck.
Brandon would cut my
this
mic.
Conversation.
He would have cut my
Let's
mic.
Let's see what
now.
This conversation looks like in training camp. Can't wait.
So, look, I don't think they can get there worst to first either, the Bears, because I think I still, I believe the Lions are actually, you're getting a pretty good price in the Lions, because I think people are trying to look for reasons to sell them without the coordinators this year. I think they're going to be better than people think. So I don't know that I'd play the Bears to win the division, but I do think that they'll be in that mix 9-win team potentially this year if Ben Johnson can get the most out of Caleb Williams. You mentioned it. I read your write-up on the Niners. It's fantastic. Everybody's going to be able to do that when you become a VSiN Pro subscriber. You'll have access to the NFL betting guide. Coming out here in just a couple short weeks here, July 1st, that betting guide will be out. So you're going to have full VSiN Pro access all the way through the Super Bowl for just $175. I'm getting older, so that's that early bird special. That's a great deal, people. I'm looking for a deal, that's a good one right there. So betting splits, of course, full access to the VSiN Watch app, deep analytics and betting tools all there for you. VSiN.com/subscribe for just $175.
Tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Cannot wait for our conversation at the top of the hour with Lou Finocchiaro to break down a very intriguing fight card overseas. I've spent time in the Middle East. I don't even know where this one is. Me and geography, not very good. Just get me off the plane, tell me where we are and what we got to go do. So we'll get to some of those time zone differences. You got to get up early in the morning here. It is going to be on ABC here. But they chose violence with some of these matchups at the top of it. I mean, we're going to have the capacity for some unders. We'll talk about that with Lou Finocchiaro to begin the next segment. Did want to get back to some of the golf talk here a little bit before the Travelers really begins here in earnest in round number two. Kelly Bidlin's going to join us here at the bottom of the hour before he and Gil take over for us in a numbers game. I'll give you my plays, and here's the good news for me off the top. The full tournament matchup play that I gave for Cam Young against J.J. Spawn looks pretty good. We got an 8-shot lead here. Cam went 5 under. J.J. went 3 over. So if that cashes, Jensen, then I'm playing with house money for the rest of the tournament. So that was kind of the thought there. Now, Akshay Bhatia, Matty Fitz, Denny McCarthy, all long shot plays. Not really good, but they did play in the tougher afternoon wave. But the problem is now, it's who are you chasing? You're chasing Scottie Scheffler. You're chasing potentially Rory McIlroy here. I don't know that Austin Eckroyd's going to be able to hold up or even a Wyndham Clark. But still, you got to run down those guys. They can't have another day like they had yesterday or else those long shots. They're probably already put to bed, but you can't have another day like you did yesterday. I don't care how tough the conditions are. Cam Young, though, and you and I both have tickets on Cam. I do get the mental capacity that he has right now is such that he is mad that he has not won on the PGA Tour. And I think that's fueling him. And right now, 3 off the lead. Jensen, I think you and I are going to be sitting here on Sunday, and I do think Cam Young is going to stay in the fight for us.
Just to update, it literally just ticked down from 35 to 30-1 on DraftKings here for Cam Young. And even the winner without market, if you wanted to jump into that, he's still 16-1 winner without Scottie Scheffler. So great stuff right there from you, my man. And we did a little live betting, at least I did, yesterday. So Akshay, thanks for coming out. We'll see you here next week. We'll look at Matty Fitzpatrick. Okay, thanks for coming out. We'll see you next week. But yeah, I do think that the motivation from guys like Cam Young, and you painted the picture perfectly yesterday of they're trying to make this Ryder Cup team. Yep. And so if nothing else to play the weekend, if Keegan Bradley will be there as well, you always want Captain America taking a look at seeing you up on that leaderboard. So but would behoove Cam Young in multiple ways, not only to win the tournament, but also to continue to escalate his stats and status for a potential Ryder Cup berth. As you see the board now, and for people just joining us, I did add Tommy Fleetwood plus 1888 with the DraftKings boost in the winner without Scottie Scheffler market. Any other names that jump out to you from a live betting perspective after round one, either a placement market or, dare we say, even dabbling an outright market with the way Scotty has been thus far?
It's going to be tough. And again, I mentioned I had 4 plays and normally I leave one spot open to add a fifth to round out that full unit play. But I haven't done it because it's Scotty, because he's at 8 under par for an outright. I feel like it could be very tough. We'll see what today looks like today, how the course is playing. But I will say on that theme of the Ryder Cup, which is coming up in September, with this news that Jordan Spieth in the injury, he does not withdraw. As Jordan said, that's the first time in forever that he can recall withdrawing from a tournament. Now that he's got a neck and a shoulder ailment here to go along with that bad wrist that he had surgery on. I do think other guys like a Patrick Cantlay that we just assume will be on the team, he hadn't won in forever. So if you want to look at those winner without markets there, I do love your play of Tommy Fleetwood in that market. There's a guy that seems like he's got the propensity to come up just a little bit short in tournaments like this. It's a short course, as we talked about. Ball striker's paradise. Tommy hits a great tee to green. Can he make enough putts? Patrick Cantlay, that might be a guy to take a look at. Look, I know Wyndham Clark mentioned exactly what you and I are talking about. He's on the outside looking in for FedEx. He's in the outside looking in for the Ryder Cup, of course. So he's motivated. I just don't know that the game is there to do it 3 more days. Maybe Cantlay from the American side, if there's another potential captain's pick out there, if Jordan Spieth, a long way to go, is not ready to go come September, those guys are taking note of that stuff too. So maybe Cantlay, a guy I hate betting, I'll put it that way, Jensen, but if he really wants to get back in the good graces here of Keegan Bradley, who's playing really well in his own right, maybe I'd take a cursory look at Cantlay today.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I just wanted to have the rankings up here. So think about this. Your top six now for the Ryder Cup. Of course, Scotty has already qualified mathematically. You have Xander. JJ Spahn, by virtue of winning the U.S. Open, has just vaulted himself into the top three. You got Bryson. You have JT and Morikawa. Intrigued by the guys that are right on the outside of the top six in Russell Henley, Ben Griffin, Maverick McNealy, Harris English. You know, even have an Andrew Novak up there. Cantlay is at 13th, Ryan Harman at 12th. Yeah. And so, you know, some good guys, but your boy Cam Young, I mean, he has made some hay here, and he would make even more with a top five finish here at the Travelers.
You know, another name you just mentioned that I'm kicking myself for not mentioning earlier is Brian Harman for this golf course, short course, right? U.S. British Open champion, not particularly long. He had a good day yesterday, 400 par as well. So another guy with a lot of motivation that, again, Roy Jones Jr., y'all must have forgot. I'm sure Brian Harman's trying to remind people too, hey, don't forget about me if you need one of those captain's picks. So guys like that, like a Brian Harman, like a Patrick Cantlay on the outside looking in. We're going to get to game seven. That's going to be Sunday night in Oklahoma City between the Thunder and the Pacers. And again, you and I are not necessarily surprised that this has gone seven. I think we're surprised in the manner in which it went seven, because you can make the case that the Pacers gave away game four, Oklahoma City gave away game one. If we go with that mentality that they both gave one away, we're right back to where we started, right? That this is kind of, I know a lot of people want to go, oh, Oklahoma City blew that 15-point lead. Look what happened for Indiana in game four. So can we not make the equivalence that this is exactly where they should be if we take that into account, that this is even Steven?
I was just looking at the player prop market here, and let me, I know that Obi Toppin just decimated the under on the 3 points, and 3 point makes yesterday. I was looking at Halliburton because you brought up the triple double idea if he's going to win potentially finals MVP. I did look at that rebound assist market, and right now it looks pretty manageable here. Over 10.5, you can get at FanDuel minus $1.46. 11 or more, I think it's already up to 11.5 at DraftKings at minus $1.05. That's rebounds plus assists. And hey, if he's going to be in and around and he gets a couple extra days to rest here, you know, any interest in those kind of markets, you just want to say, listen, I'm going to forego what the 12-1 price is on the MVP and just play the triple double.
I kind of like that triple double idea, right? That look, he's going to, we know now, he's got 3 full days rest. That people are going to forget about this series and have to be reminded again that it's going to be Sunday night with these long layoffs that they've had. But that really helps out Tyrese Halliburton. I mean, for a guy that gutted it out last night and looked pretty darn good in that process, I know it's only 14 points, but it's more the impact that he had in the game to kind of lift them up. Like, we can kind of expect him to be, I don't want to say he's not 100%. We understand that, but if whatever percentage he was last night, can we add about 20% of that with the 3 days off before we play game seven?
Yeah. Yeah. And also the night game certainly helps there. And it's not a major travel from a time zone or mileage standpoint. Yeah. It's certainly going to be. And as you said, it's the last game of the year. They're going to do everything they need to have him as close to 100%. Man, I just wonder. Okay, here's another way to do it.
Bring it.
If you did a same game parlay and you put in, you manually enter, you know, the Halliburton, you know, 10 or more for each of the triple double categories and add Pacers money line, that's a hell of a payout right there. And you get two bites at the apple, right? So might be a better way to go instead of just Halliburton, depending on what the odds are at 12-1 to win MVP.
I like where your head's at. And by the way, I was thinking of this today. Like, you know, if you said to OKC, hey, you get a game seven at home to win the NBA title, you would have signed up for this 10 months ago. So would have been Indiana, that we get a game seven against OKC to win the title. They would have signed up for that too. So two ways to look at that equation. By the way, if you want to find more exciting ways to bet, check out xcutta.com. That's spelled X-C-U-T-T-A. It's the future of futures wagering. It combines the adrenaline of a live auction with a strategy of sports betting or fantasy picks. It's easy to use, It works for any sport, over 1,000 teams, players, golfers, and drivers. XCutter is adaptable to any sport, even horse racing. It's free to sign up. So it's got free auctions every day at 3, 6, and 9 Eastern. Send an email to support at xcutter.com. Mention VEASAN. You're going to get a 3-month player promo code to get started. That's xcutter.com, X-C-U-T-T-A.